This morning I want to talk to you about renovations and the personal touch of Jesus. When Mandy and I, my wife, were first married more than 24 years ago, we didn't have a lot of possessions. So I just assumed that a poster of the Irish band U2 would just go up in the walls of our home for all to see. So I got it out to put it up, and Mandy just refused. I said to her, "Honey, I love U2, the band." And she stamped her foot and she said, "It might reflect who you were as a single man, but it doesn't reflect us as a married couple. So if you come to our garage in Mitcham, in our house, the poster is still there. It's never come out. Why? Because the things you hang on the walls of your home say something about who you are. But we did add other decorations to our home that reflected who we were. And today, if you come into our home and you looked around, you'd see photos and works of art and cushions and all those things. And if you stood in our home, you would just get the sense, oh, this has got the personal touch of Jonathan and Mandy. We're in the Starks' home. You know, you can kind of sense it just by sitting there. The things that we have in our home demonstrate our personal touch. I want to ask you a question. If your life was a house and someone walked in, what would they see of Jesus? If someone walked right up to the door and knocked loudly, and if they came inside and looked around at your life, could they tell that Jesus lived there? Would they see Jesus' personal touch in your life? I know that your desire is that your pastor, Deborah, and the church leaders would live in such a way that as you interacted with them, you would recognize and see the personal touch of Jesus in their lives. And we pray that East Doncaster Baptist Church would receive the ministry of those who lead you now, and that as you receive their ministry, you would know that they're living their lives with Jesus. And that you would do that as you go out and live during the week, people would see Jesus in you. But I want to ask you, what would be the clear signs in your life that would cause people to see the personal touch of Jesus in your life? Paul wrote the letter to the Philippians, and they were a church that had helped him, that Paul had helped start. Remember when he shared the good news about Jesus with Lydia by the river in Philippi? Since then, Paul had forged deep friendships with the church there, and they'd supported him financially. Even when he was not with them, the church at Philippi, they had heard about that Paul was in prison, and they took up an offering, and Paul wrote to them the letter to the Philippians to thank them for their gift and to encourage them to stand firm in their faith and in the joy of the gospel. And the passage that we've read today comes from this letter, and it's coming to them. I think today we need to hear the encouragement from Paul, don't you think, for us today? The many challenges that we face today can sometimes overwhelm us. I mean, for many of us, we can find just the difficulties right in front of us too much to cope with. Work can be so challenging or overwhelming that we can feel trapped sometimes. Our health can be such an ongoing battle that we face, you know, doctor's appointments, medical changes, and the daily aches and pains of life, that it can be a battle. We want our kids and our grandkids to grow up healthily and happy, but they seem to find navigating life so difficult, and we're at a loss to know how we can help them. And we wish we had more time in the day to get everything that we want to get done. So we rush, we strive, we worry. And we can lose heart. We can feel overwhelmed with sorrow. So Paul's words are important to us. He says, let Jesus be seen in your life even now in the midst of that. And Paul was in prison when he wrote these words. He didn't know what was lying ahead of him. He wasn't sure what would happen to him in the future, but he let the presence of Jesus be seen. Jesus's personal touch, he was constantly seen in his life by everyone. So what would Paul want for us today in our lives? What would Paul long for a visitor to see in our house that is our life? And I think from the passage that's been read to us today from Philippians 4:4-9, Paul would want to see one thing, and it's this: peace. Peace. You know that Jesus has taken up residence in a person's life when there is peace. In the midst of prison, suffering, hardship, this peace can only come from the presence of God. In the midst of a world that's full of so much anxiety, shame, anger, conflict, fear, to have this peace is beyond human understanding. This peace comes from God. It comes from trusting that we have a God who is wise and who is good and who is working things out for our ultimate good, even if the circumstances we face are difficult. It guards our hearts and our minds, and it does this because Jesus is our Lord and our Saviour and our friend. His presence in our lives brings us peace, and anyone who comes in and sees inside our lives will see that Jesus lives there. So the biggest question this morning, there's a lot of questions so far, isn't it? But I want to ask you, how can I let Jesus move and change things around so that his peace can reign in my life? That's a good question to ask ourselves this morning. So today we're going to look at how we can let Jesus add his personal touch to our lives so that his peace is obvious and on display for everyone who looks in. And I think there are just four actions that Paul urges us to take, four things that if we're to do them continually, then the peace of God will be seen in our lives. So as we look at the passage together, let's look at these four actions that we must do regularly for God's peace to dwell fully and richly in our lives. And the first is this: rejoice. Paul says it clearly and repeats it. Rejoice. And this means that we're to be a people who continually celebrate Jesus. This is how Paul expresses it to us. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Paul is saying, if you're in prison, rejoice. If you're given a new job, rejoice. If your health fails, rejoice. If your health improves, rejoice. Whatever the situation, rejoice in the Lord. You don't need to rejoice that you are suffering. We don't want to suffer, but if we do, we can rejoice that God is with us. He will help us. He will strengthen us. He will keep his promises to us. And even that if we die, we will be with Jesus forever. If you rejoice in the Lord in the midst of difficult circumstances, you will know Jesus' presence and his joy, and anyone who gets close to you and enters the house where you live will see the presence of Jesus there. We rejoice at our house. In the midst of our home, when our family probably happens most in the dining room table. There's a big table and we all gather around and we eat together. We talk about the day. We play board games there. We laugh. We tell stories. We blow out the candles. We enjoy being together. We make speeches. For followers of Jesus, perhaps the place in our lives is the Sunday service celebration where we rejoice together. I loved being at your 60th. What a rejoice. And to have a choir here again today fills my heart with joy. These are times when we get together and celebrate with joy. So rejoice in the Lord. The second action that Paul calls us to do, that so that the peace of God will be in our lives and people will be able to tell that Jesus lives there, is to pray. Pray continually. Continually pray instead of worrying. Paul puts it this way: do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. If you're like most people, there are some very concerning things going on in your life right now. You might find yourself thinking over and over about an upcoming event, a difficult conversation that you need to have with someone, an important assignment that's due to be submitted, or a constant pain in your chest that just doesn't seem normal, and you worry. Is it going to work out? Will I be all right? Will I be able to say the things that I wanted to say how I wanted to? Is it something worse than I think it is? And we worry. And Jesus said, you can't add a single hour to your life by worrying about it. At best, worrying doesn't help a bit. At worst, it makes us anxious and stressed and unable to sleep. So Paul says, stop it. He says, don't be anxious about anything. And we would say, Paul, are you joking? I mean, it's easier said than done. You can't just stop by stopping worrying. But he doesn't leave it there. He offers us a better way than worrying in these verses. Instead of worrying, we're to pray. We are to pray about everything. So if you currently have a worry list, you know, then Paul says, take your pen and cross out the word worry and replace it with the word prayer. Turn your worry list into a prayer list and pray continually. You might ask, should I go to the doctor if I can't stop worrying? And I would say, yes, you should go to the doctor if you try to stop worrying and you find that you can't and it's affecting your health. Sometimes we become so fuzzy that our head needs medication or counselling or support to help us sleep. And that's what we need, so we can slow down, clear our thoughts and think straight again and then pray. And painfully, for some people, even these things seem to help little. But if you don't have a situation that requires medical intervention, just stop worrying and pray. How are we to pray? We're to pray always and in every situation. We're to pray by asking God specifically for help, what Paul calls petitions, and present your request to God. And all of these things, we're to do it giving thanks to God. And you know what the promise is in verse 7? And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Peace, shalom, the shalom that comes from rejoicing in the Lord and from praying, not worrying. So in our house, the place where I like to pray is in the lounge room. sitting in a chair that looks over the street that we live on. The doors are closed. I'm alone. But as I talk with Jesus, the more I talk with him, the worry lessens and the peace increases and his presence fills me more and more. What a privilege it is to pray with others. What a privilege it is to pray wherever you are, even at Mainly Music, with people who ask for prayer. If you see an opportunity to pray here in this church, take it. Pray. If you lead a small group, make them, have prayer together, make time for prayer. May this church, East Doncaster Baptist Church, be a house of prayer. And may the peace of God, of Jesus, rest in your lives. The third action that Paul calls us to take so that peace of God is seen in our life is this: to think, continually think about God's good gifts. He says, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Someone once said, a person is not what they think they are, but what they think they are. It's a bit heavy, isn't it? Did you get it? A person is not what they think they are, but what they think they are. Our thoughts will affect every area of our lives. What we think will affect what we say and how we act and who we become. So Paul urges us to think about what we think about. And this can be a battle. Lauren Daigle puts it this way. She says, I keep fighting voices in my mind that say I'm not enough. Every single lie that tells me I will never measure up. So Paul urges us to win the battle in our minds by thinking continually about God's good gifts. Look, think about whatever is true as opposed to what are lies. Jesus said, I am the truth. Think about his words, his actions. They are true. Think about whatever is noble. There are people or acts or things that are dignified and honourable. Let your mind think about those things. Think whatever is right, not what is wrong. Think about what is not those things that are unjust, but what is righteous. Those things, people who stand up for justice in Myanmar, those who are caring for our planet, people who are in freedom, trying to get finding to freedom for people that are enslaved, raising funds for refugees. These are things that are right and good to think about. Think about whatever is pure as opposed to what is... this is really talking about the genuineness of our motivations being pure. Think about whatever is lovely. These are things of beauty. I love to sit in a garden. I love to listen to music. I love to visit an art gallery. There are beautiful things all around us. Think about those things. Think about whatever is admirable or excellent or praiseworthy. And that really means anything. You can just let your mind go to things that can are really good. They can be a job that's well done, a promise kept, a person who stands up to power, someone who helps the poor, who defends the weak, who gives generously, a good friend, a great birthday cake. You can just name anything that is good and think about it. How can we do this in practice? I think the best way is to just start the day opening up God's word and praying and worshipping and journaling and letting our minds think about God and the good things he thinks he gives us each day. One night, my daughter had been thinking about something, and as she got to sleep, she just couldn't stop thinking about it. And she was crying, and she said, Dad, I can't sleep. So we went in, and we just read this verse together, and we tried to think about all the things that were true, that were noble, that were right. And pretty soon, she started, her thinking changed, and she was off to bed very soon asleep. The house that we, part of the house where thinking happens for us is the study. We move from being on the couch watching things endlessly to being in the study, opening up our books and wrestling. So rejoice pray and think. And finally, Paul says that for the peace of God to reign in our lives, we need to act. Act means continually putting into practice all that you have learned. Paul says in Philippians 4:9, whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice and the peace of God will be with you. What a great example Paul was. He just said, just do whatever I do. Do you wish you could say that? That's incredible. What a great leader he was. And we pray that you leaders here today would be able to say, do what I do. As I follow Jesus, follow me. Set a good example. Seek to live a life that people can follow you and put into practice the things that you preach and teach and show people that you, by your life, that you love Jesus. Act in that way. Henry Ford says, you can't build a reputation on what you are going to do. So just do it. Do it. So get things done. Do what God's calling you to do. When you learn about something in the Bible, just do it. When you sense the Spirit prompting you, just do it. Build a life that's obvious by the things that you do that Jesus lives in you. People of East Doncaster Baptist Church, whatever you've learned from Jesus, from Paul the Apostle, from your pastor, from your leaders, just do it. Follow Jesus and put into practice the things he leads you to do. We set aside in our house, probably we don't have a gym, but if we had one, we would. Maybe it's in the garage where we make things or do things, or maybe it's the front door where we walk out acting into the world where we go. But in all these ways, we're putting into practice what we've learned. And look at the promise that it holds, and the God of peace will be with you. So rejoice, think, and act, and the God of peace will be with you. I want to let you know that not so long ago, on a Saturday morning, a man, Jason, came up to our house. He's a builder. And he walked in and he looked at our bathroom. There's a little bit of black mold that was there. We just wanted to see how serious the problem was. So he pulled off one tile, and then he pulled off another. Then he called us in and he said, you need a renovation. And I went, oh, what are we going to do? Well, how will we know what tiles to get, what fittings, all of that? Who are we going to? And I say, oh, can you help us? And Mandy just stepped in front of me and said to Jason, we know what to do. We'll call Jill. Now, Jill is one of Mandy's friends, and she's got a lovely home, and she's done renovations, and she's given us little bits of tips of what goes with this and what. So my heart just relaxed again when I remembered Jill. Sure enough, we called Jill. We just did all the things that she told us. And this morning, I had a shower in a lovely renovated bathroom after lots of pain, lots of changes, lots of times when we couldn't have a shower in the bathroom for months and months. But today, all the changes have happened. As we've looked at this passage this morning, let's be aware that God, through Paul's writing, is urging us to make renovations. Might be hard, might take a long time, but he's calling us to pray, to rejoice, to pray, to think and act, so that the peace of God might reign in our hearts. Which one of these do you think God's sensing you this morning to spend more time on? Do you need to rejoice more? Do you need to pray more and stop and worry less? Do you need to think about God's good things instead of dwelling on the negative things all the time? And what do you need to act? Is it time you put some things into action? Let what God's challenging you with be the thing that you act on. David Devine is a leader in the Baptist Union. He looks at the head of church health, and his wife passed away just over 4 years ago. She died of cancer, and she was only 56 years old when she died. And I went to the service, and David shared at her funeral how one surgeon who treated Annette said to David that whenever he saw Annette for treatment, she radiated the aroma of Jesus. What a testimony. May you radiate the aroma of Jesus, and may the peace of God rest on you. And in all that lies ahead, may you know his presence as you rejoice, pray, think, and act. Let's pray. God, we thank you so much for your care and love for us. We thank you for the words that you leave us in your scripture. And we pray that the peace of God would reign in our hearts as you, Lord Jesus, help us to rejoice, to pray, to think, and to act. May everyone who sees us know that you live in us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.